Hey, thanks for listening to the Journey Podcast. We're glad you're here. Journey exists to engage people in the process of knowing Jesus Christ. We pray that this podcast engages you and encourages you to become more like Him.
Well, good morning. How we doing? Are we good? Anybody got good plans for the week? Anybody doing anything fun? No? Spring break, right? Congrats. Welcome to spring break. Hey, my name's Alan. If you're new here today with us, thanks for being here. I'm not normally the one that's up here on a Sunday. Pastor Bobby's off. He's been in Texas all week. He shot a turkey. For some people, that's cool to do, right? He enjoys that stuff. I don't really care about hunting, but anybody else be happy to shoot a turkey? No? A few people? Okay, cool. All right, maybe not. If we're anti-shooting turkey, sorry. We'll stop. Okay. But my name is Alan. I'm one of the pastors here on staff. And we're starting a new series today called Jesus Is. And so we're going to get started. I'm just going to intro for you for a few minutes. And then Tracy's going to come up here and finish off the service for us. But we're excited about this new series. We're trying to talk about a little bit about who Jesus is and this characteristics, what we learn about him in scripture, sometimes from names that God gives himself and gives others. And then also just his characteristics, how he experienced with people in the Bible, kind of help us understand more about who Jesus is. And so for each week of the next 5 weeks, we're going to kind of look at a different name or characteristic of Jesus to help us as we walk this life called the Christian life. And so it's going to be a fun series. So today we're talking about Jesus is our provider. And so we're going to talk in a few minutes about the first place in scripture where God tells us that he is our provider. And it's kind of a wild and crazy story. And so we're going to get to that in a minute. But how many of you guys, on the count of three, I told you my name already. I want to learn your name. So on the count of three, everybody tell me your name, all right? One, two, three. Did you do it? Did you do it? I don't think you did it. Ryan. Thanks, Ryan. So now, since you've told me your name and I'm a pastor, we have a superpower where we learn all of your names. And I know everybody, as soon as we walk here today, I'm going to shake your hand, say thank you and good job and see you later. Have a good week. And I'll know your name. So that's really the cool part. It's not going to happen. And in fact, you'll know that I don't know your name when I go, hey, man, how are you, bro? Everything good, buddy? Yeah, those are our go-tos when we're I want to know your name, I promise, because names are important, right? How many of you guys like your name? Okay, me. Somebody down there really likes their name. How many do not like their name? Okay, we got a few hands. Uh-oh, some moms who gave names. Don't look. How many of you guys have a family name? You were named after somebody in your family. How many of you guys were named after a famous person? Okay. How many of you guys were named after a Bible character or someone from the Bible? Not character, they're people, right? How many of you have no clue where your name came from? Okay, cool. Yeah, so that happens because we like, and some of us like our names. I know the guy coming up a little later, he's going to tell you how he doesn't like his name and we'll know why. Names are important. They're special. They have meaning. They have association, right? For me personally, names are important because of how you spell your names, right? So my name's Alan, right? And my wife, her name is Amy, all right? And we know if you know us well, if you can spell both of our names correctly, because we don't spell them right, all right? So in my case, Alan is usually A-L-L-E-N or A-L-A-N. And that's not how I spell mine. That's how you spell yours. My spelling is A-L-L. A-N. I don't know why my family did that. They did it, right? But that's how it works. And then my wife, Amy, right? A-M-Y is what it should be, right? But nope, not that. A-I-M-E-E. I think it's a French version or something, maybe, for those that have that. So, Alan and Amy. So we know if you know us well when you can spell both of our names correctly, which, side note, if you follow me on social media or anything and have this about back in February, I was my 9th anniversary of being on staff at Journey. And so Bobby always gives us a card for anniversaries and stuff. And Bobby spelled my name, A-L-L-E-N, inside the card. My office is right next to his. Like, we work together a lot. My own boss didn't know how to spell my name. No, just kidding. He'd mess it up. What's funny about it is we'd actually been talking that day about a guy on our team here whose name is Alan as well, and his is spelled E-N. So I'm going to give him that credit for that's why he did that. So if names are important, spelling names is important. And in fact, when my wife and I got married, we started talking about wanting to have children in the future and wanting to spell their names, to come up with names. We had to want to have a boy name, want to have a girl name. For us, it was very important that we spelled their names correctly, because like us, our experience is we could never get that keychain and we could never get that cup that had your name on it spelled correctly. So we're like, we're going to let our kids be able to get that keychain and get that cup that they want with their name spelled correctly. Well, my son's name is Josiah and my daughter's name is Karis. So not finding those names on keychains or cups anyway, but those names have meaning. We named our son Josiah because it's from the Bible. He was a king in the Bible, and he was a king that always did what was right, even though no one else around him was doing right. And so as a 14-year-old boy right now, we're really learning this lesson well about trying to do what's right, even when nobody else is doing what's right around you. And then my daughter's name's Karis. It's after the Greek word for grace, which is Karis, C-H-A-R-I-S, but that looks like Charis, so we spelled it K-A-R-I-S, which is the correct way to spell Karis for us English speakers to understand. So names have importance, and names mean something to us, and they have meaning, and we have association with them. And so in the Bible, it's the same thing there. In fact, God shows up in Scripture naming people certain things based off of who they are or what they experience or what promises he's given. And in fact, we're going to go to that today. So Genesis chapter 22 is where we're going to be at today. First of all, the guy Adam in the Bible in Genesis means from dust, which is what he was created from. The guy we're talking about today is a guy named Abram, whose God changed his name to Abraham to mean father of many, which is a weird tension today because of the story we're going to share. It's like, whoa, father of many, because the promise is weird here, but God changed his name. And so what we're going to do is we're going to see how God uses names in this moment. But as we move into today's message, and when Tracy comes up here, we're going to see how Jesus shows up and shows us that he's the provider and what he can do for us. So let's read Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 14 together. It's a long story. We're going to kind of run through it kind of quickly, and we're going to go from there. All right, so here's what it says. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. Time out. Weird. Anybody want this test? Said God was testing Abraham. Anybody want this test? Nope. What? What's going on here? The Bible gets weird sometimes, but that's okay, because we can understand a little bit more about it in a moment. So the next morning, he got up early. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire for a burnt offering and set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Stay here with the donkey, Abraham told the servants. The boy and I will travel a little farther. We will worship there, and then we will come right back. So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, Father. Yes, my son, Abraham replied. We have the fire and the wood, the boy said, but where is the sheep for the burnt offering? God will provide a sheep for a burnt offering, my son, Abraham answered him. And they both walked on together. When they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood. Then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Yep, that's pretty crazy, is it not? Put yourself in that situation, right? Yeah, huh? Nope, not tying up Josiah. Not going to put him up. Well, I want to tie him up sometimes, that is true. But not putting him on an offering, right? This is a weird thing that God's called him to do. But at that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Yes, Abraham replied, here I am. Don't lay a hand on the boy, the angel said. Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. Then Abram looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it in a burnt offering in the place of his son. So Abraham named the place Yahweh Jireh, or as we would say it, Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. To this day, people use that name as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. So there's a lot in there that we're not going to kind of try to break down today, because this is just an intro. And we're trying to get to the story of how God provides. But we see in these things that what he says, even the last sentence, people will use that name as a proverb. meaning we're going to use these principles to understand the name that God does this. So this story starts with the understanding that this was a test. It says the Lord tested Abraham. Now, this is a test I'll be glad not to take. God can try to give me a test of faith that doesn't involve me trying to kill my son, right? I'm not sure how the relationship worked out for the rest of the time. Like, hey, Dad, remember that time you put me on the altar, right? But it says, but Abraham's faith, we could see that the next morning he got up early, right? I would have been sleeping in. It says, we will worship there and we will be right back. Abraham trusted God that he would provide some way, even if that meant bringing the boy back to life. Abraham knew that God had promised, you're going to be the father of many, and it was going to have to come through Isaac. So he knew that God would provide in some way. He didn't know how, but he knew God would provide in some way. And then it said, God will provide the sheep for the burnt offering, my son. So he knew that God was going to show up. So as we read, we see that God does provide for us. Even if it feels like it's at the last minute, God's going to provide for us. So we see that God will do this. And as Christians today, we can also see how God was foreshadowing his own son's death, right? This is a story as a whole foreshadowing to what God giving up his own son as a sacrifice for us. God was proving even in this early moment that he is a God that provides. And he's also a God that provides when we don't understand. And so as we see this from this first story of God showing up as his provision, we can also then see him as he goes in the New Testament, seeing how God provides through Jesus, and then how Jesus asks us to walk in that provision as well. And Pastor Tracy's gonna come up there and share that with us. So let's pray and we'll continue in our service. So God, thank you that you do provide for us. God, it doesn't always make sense. This story, if we're honest, really gets weird. But God, we know you work in certain ways. And as we sang a few minutes ago, God, we know you have good plans. That we can walk through the valleys and through the deserts, and we can walk through the gardens, knowing that you will take care of us. And so God, when we talk about today that Jesus is a provider, we may have some connotations, we may have some assumptions that go with that. But God, teach us today through your word how you really do provide for us and what you provide for us and how you provide for us. So God, thank you for the story where we learn your name, Jehovah Jireh. But God, let us see today how we take this into next week and into our lives and into our families that you can provide for us and that you will provide for us. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
What's up, Journey? How y'all doing today? Good to see y'all. Hey, man, so Alan was talking about a name, and obviously we know what we're talking about today is that Jesus is our provider, but I just got to stop for a minute. I was the one over there, and I was raising my hand because I hate my name, straight up. So I got two older brothers. I'm the youngest of three, and my first brother is named Jason. That's a dude name. I like it. Right? Travis is the middle brother. His name is Travis. And then my parents are just sitting in the hospital room and they're like, we're going to name this boy Tracy. Like, for real? Seriously? Like, two dude names and then Tracy. Tracy's the guy who can't draw well. Right? Get it? Tracy. All right. But anyway, I had to tell a dad joke in there somewhere. But I don't like it. And then here's the best part. I asked my parents where they got my name from. The phone book. For real? Like, you're just looking through the phone book and there's all these cool names and you land on Tracy and you're like, I like that. So if your name is Tracy, I'm sorry, but I don't like it. I don't like it at all. But man, when we think about this whole name thing, just to be real, like, when I think about that, yeah, that's funny or whatever. But man, what Alan just kind of shared with us about that's a crazy story. We're going to kind of briefly refer to that. But I want to look at just a few verses in the New Testament that kind of show us that Jesus is literally our provider in every single way and how maybe sometimes we get a little bit off and we don't really get that because we get distracted in our life. And so if it's cool, man, I want to share just kind of a few ideas right out of the New Testament that show Jesus is our provider. He is really that in every single way. And these are going to sound simple, but I want you to kind of follow along with me. And I want you to think about these things personally in your own life, because sometimes what we think is simple is not so simple. So the first idea is this: Jesus is the source of all provision, of everything you have that's good, of everything you have that's a blessing, of everything you have that's provided for you, the source of all of it, all goes back to Jesus. I want you to hear this verse, and especially the first part of this verse, because there's a reason little parts are in Scripture is for us. So here's what it says. James 1:17, it says, so don't be misled. Did you hear that? Don't get off. Don't be misled. Don't get distracted, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. So Alan's talking about Abraham, and he told us the story, so I won't kind of rehash it, but he's got him on the altar, and he had already thought that Jesus would provide, God would provide. He had already said that, hey, God's going to provide. He was obedient to the point of killing Isaac. And then there was a ram in the thicket, right? It was like this big thing that fell in his lap, this miracle that fell in his lap where he didn't have to go through with what he was about to do to be obedient to God. And that's sometimes how God works, right? Sometimes this is a big thing in our life. We'll talk about that in a minute too. But there are other times, and this is why I think that verse says, don't be misled. Don't be misled. Because every single gift, every single good thing you have, everything that's provided for you in your life right now, start thinking about them. Every single thing is a gift from God above. It doesn't, and so here's where we get misled, I think. Here's what happens in my life anyway. All the little things all day that are provided for us, all the small things, I start to take for granted. And what we start doing is we start looking at a person and we start getting the means mixed up with the source, right? We start looking at somebody who did something for us and we thank them and we don't go thank God at the same time. We get distracted by all these little things. We go to people and we expect them to give us what we need instead of God. People can be seen as the source. God can and will use people as the means in different ways, but we should go to God first, in my opinion, and we should let God decide how he's going to help us and how he is going to provide for us. But sometimes we put all our focus on a spouse. Sometimes we put all our focus on a family member. Sometimes we put all our focus on material things. Sometimes we put all our focus on a job. Sometimes we put all our focus on everything else other than where it really comes from. And so sometimes I think God wants us to realize that all of these things, don't be misled, right? Every good and every perfect gift is from above, from the God who put all the lights in the heavens, from that God. He is the source of every good thing in your life. Sometimes we think that unless the blessing falls in our lap, a ram in the thicket, right? Sometimes we think that unless it's something like that, it's not God. So God does the big miracles, and we're left to figure out all the little things that he provides and that he gives us. But the truth is, man, heaven doesn't always fall in our laps, but God is always on the scene. Jesus is always in your life blessing you with something that sometimes you and I take for granted. Everything we have, I want us to be reminded of that. But sometimes the truth is, it's all the little things that we take for granted. It's going right now, maybe in your life, you just need to start going, thank you, God, that I have this. God, thank you that I have clothes right now today. I got clothes on. I'm very thankful for that today because that would be weird, right? But it's something like this big miracle. Anybody ever had just a huge thing happen and you're like, that is none other than God himself, right? Awesome, right? It happened to me when I was about 2020, right? And COVID and all that. But man, I'm not going to go into any details, but I went through, and I get emotional thinking about it, and I'm going to try not to cry, but I went through a very tough previous experience in my life. And for 2 years, before I came to Journey, for 2 years, I would go home sometimes almost every night just bawling and talking to my wife about what happened that day or what the experience was that day or what the emotions were that day. And I was so hurt and I was so angry and I was all these emotions at the same time, literally for a couple of years. And I had interviewed before, like for Texas, for Atlanta, but then my daughters were like in
the closing years of their high school. They had all of their friend groups. I mean, everything was good, and I didn't want to move. And so I'm praying, and I'm like, God, you got to help me. You got to help me. Like, I'm struggling, like I'm hurting. And you got to let this happen. You got to take me to where you want me to go. I cannot stay here. And then the ram in the thicket came when my wife talked to her sister who attends Journey. And she said, Journey's hiring. And I put in a resume. And from then on, I don't know why they hired me. I don't get it half the time. But I'm telling you, this is the best place that I've ever been a part of. The team, the way that they helped me heal, and they don't even realize it. And I literally, no pun intended, was on a journey to emotional healing in my life. And I am so glad to be a part of this church, a part of this team. I am so grateful to God. It was literally a ram in the thicket in my life. And I don't know if you've had that happen. I'm like, I've heard about a couple of rams in the thicket in people's life. One of them is my brother. I don't know if he's going to get mad at me for sharing this or not, but man, not long ago, literally not too long ago, he walked in to work one morning and they said, we got to lay you off, pack up all your stuff. He didn't do anything wrong. It was just something that they had to do corporately or whatever. And so he walked out. He's like, he calls me and he's like, hey, I just lost my job. And I laughed because he always jokes around. Like, I'm like, oh no, you're serious. And man, we're talking on the phone a lot. And he's like, man, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. And like, they gave me just a couple weeks pay or whatever, and I got to figure it out. And lo and behold, you know what happened? He got a job. He got the ram in the thicket laying right in his lap. He's happier there. They have a chaplain on staff that comes around and checks on them and prays for them if they need prayer. I mean, just some cool stuff. God provided when he needed it. There's another guy in our church. He's been driving the box truck for us some and serving because we're just riding first. He's riding with me in the truck and we're just riding together. And he says, I lost my job. And I'm like, oh man, we'll pray for you. You know, we'll try to help you out. And I gave his name to Alan, who just was speaking up here. And Alan kind of reached out and got some connections. This guy said, I put in over 100 resumes. I got one interview and didn't work out. Just hard to find the type of job he was looking for. Alan sends it out, and within a couple weeks, he's got an interview. He's got the job. He starts next week. God is the provider of everything, but if we're not careful, we'll be misled and we'll think we did it, or we'll think somebody else did it, or we focus on our material stuff. And if we're not careful, we're going to miss that God is the one who provides every single thing that we need and even more than we'll ever need. He is that good. He is the generous God. Jesus is the one. I got to tell you a story I read because it kind of fits this, man. I read a story about how there was a lady in line at the grocery store and she was holding her little boy. And this dude notices this along line. He's just trying to make things better for people who have kids. And he's walking around and he's got this big jar of candy and he's just letting kids get candy out, making them happy. But he walks up to this dude and he tries to give the kid candy and the kid goes, uh-uh. He's kind of like one of them little snobby kids, you know? Y'all got one of them? I'm just kidding. But he does it again. The kid rejects it again. Does it like three times. And finally, the kid looks at him and goes, I want you to get it. So the guy reaches his hand and grabs this big old handful of candy and hands it to the kid. The kid's happy. They go out to the car. They get everything loaded. They get the seatbelts on. And the mom looks around and is like, why didn't you get take the candy? He said, because I knew that man's hands were bigger and I get more candy. Now, that's good stuff. But you know what? I want to remind us today that where our source is Jesus himself. And when we try to do things on our own, when we try to provide for ourselves, our hands are much smaller. His hands are way bigger than yours. So we need to be reminded to start looking to Jesus, who's the provider of everything we need, of everything we will ever need in life. And we start looking to him and say, your hands are bigger. I want you to handle this matter. I want you to help me handle this situation. You're the one who provides wisdom. You're the one who provides when I'm having a hard time. You're the one who provides jobs. You're the one who does it all. And I want to make sure that I'm giving you all the credit. And then I read the Greek word for blessed. I'm probably going to pronounce it wrong because I don't know how to do it, but it's Makarios. And it was the name of an island actually off of Greece, the Makarios Island. It was known as the blessed island because it was self-contained. All the natural resources, everything it had, they never had to leave that island. So it was called the blessed island. And I want to kind of relate that to our lives just a little bit. All the stuff you get, listen to me, is outside of you. The new car, the house, the extra money, all those are good things, but they're all extra. They're a bonus. You don't need them. The Bible's idea of being blessed is you and me being okay just being on the island of the kingdom of God. Is you and me being content just being with the King puts us in a blessed place. Just having a relationship with Jesus is all I ever need in my life. But you know what? One of the ways you know that you aren't blessed sometimes is that you have to keep leaving the island in order to have fun. Is that you need more than your relationship with God to have peace. Is that you crave more than your relationship with Jesus to have joy. The blessed person finds their provision for everything they have in Jesus. They realize that it all goes back to Jesus and that He is the source of every good thing in our life, of everything provided, of every gift, is that He is the source of all of it. And I think that may be a simple thing, but sometimes that's why that verse says, don't be misled. Don't look for it in other ways. Remember, God uses all means of all types of situations to provide for you. But remember that it all comes from the source, and that's Jesus. Another idea I want to throw out there is that when we, and this is cool, the next 2 points I'm going to share, I believe Scripture connects these things, and you'll see it in the Scripture. I'm not going to make that up. You'll see it when we read. But is that when we seek Jesus, again, it sounds like a simple thing, but when we seek Jesus, we get all these things. Let me read Matthew 6. This is great verses right here. This is like some of the best verses you could ever read, especially if you're dealing with worry, anxiety. Just listen to what it says. That's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink, enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things saying, what are we going to eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. And then listen to this part. This is where it connects, right? Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. And you ready? Do this and He will give you everything you need. Everything you need. Another verse says it this way, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. When we seek Jesus first, all the things come to us. That's what this is saying. That's how it's connected. So it's saying that if I seek His kingdom first, then I get all these things. So how? Here's two questions I want to throw out real practical. And it sounds simple. I'm going to keep saying that. But I'm telling you, everyday life is the struggle for me. And I'm just going to be real about it. So how do I seek His kingdom and His righteousness? If I'm going to seek Him first and then I get all these things, I got to know how that works, right? And it's very practical, but first, I think this means that we have to seek Jesus first personally, not with anybody else around, personally on our own. And here's the question, how's your relationship with Jesus going right now? How are you doing with that? Because I ain't going to lie, there's days it's good and there's days I struggle. There's days I miss my reading plan. There's days I, you know, and it becomes a habit over time, but there's days that it's not real great. Are we praying? Are we reading His word to learn and gain wisdom from Him? Are we worshiping Jesus? Are we repenting of our sin that distracts us and that gets in the way? Are we grateful for what we do have instead of sometimes focusing on what we don't have? Right? Those are all big questions, but seek Jesus first personally every single day. And I'm just going to be honest. That's a hard thing to do sometimes. It's possible, but it's not fun. And then the second thing is seek Jesus first in your circle of influence. So I've been with Jesus myself, but when I go out with my family and hang out with my family in the living room, man, I need to be putting on the righteousness of God and being in his kingdom and making sure about how I treat my family. How you treating your spouse? How you treating your kids every day? How does that look more like Jesus than you? That's a good question, right? The struggle is every single day. How are you treating people at work? If you're the boss, how are you treating your employees, right? I mean, so we can just keep going and going with all of this. How's it going when you're hanging out with your buddies, your friends on girls' night? How's that going? How does that look more like Jesus than you? So we seek Jesus first. That's how we do it practically. It's just how we treat people. It's making sure we're in the Word and we're learning and we're praying and we're wanting to be more like Jesus. It's simple, but it's hard, right? Here's a thought too. When I was a kid, I can't say that to be true. It's still one of my favorite games is hide and seek. You ever play that? And as a student pastor, man, I played it. I played it growing up. You know, as a student pastor, I was still an adult and I loved it. So, cause like if I didn't have a lesson prepared and I was kind of slack, we just played hide and seek the whole time. Took the whole youth group outside. And then you just relate it to something, right? Well, make sure you seek Jesus kind of deal. But you know, and then it works. But that was one of my favorite games. But you know what happens? All but one person hide, and then they want to be last to be found, right? That's how it works. And it wouldn't be fun if, like, the person finding didn't go look. I've done that a couple times. That's fun, too. But if you didn't go look, they're just sitting there, and they'll never be found, and it's not fun, right? But I think when it comes to seeking, I think in our spiritual lives, every single day, we're the ones who need to be it, and we need to be seeking God's kingdom every single day until we find him. Until we find Jesus. Seek him every day until you get something from him that you can use in your life because he wants to teach you. He wants to help you. He wants to provide for you. But if we're not seeking, sometimes we're going to miss it. Don't be misled. Every single gift is from him. Start seeking for those gifts and you'll start recognizing them every single day. We look for his kingdom first and then we get all the things that we need. What are the things? I think that Jesus will provide everything we need as we seek him and follow him. It doesn't mean we're not going to mess up sometimes. It doesn't mean we're going to do it perfectly. But as we seek to live the way he calls us to, we're promised we'll have every single thing we will ever need provided for us. The last point is my favorite. It's my favorite one ever because it's one of them things where you don't see something for a while and then all of a sudden, holy moly, you see it. Right? And so here's the other connection thing. When we serve others, not just when we seek him first, but when we serve other people, I think all of us are created to serve. I do. And when we serve others, here's the crazy thing. Jesus meets all of our needs. I want to show you this in scripture. Mark 8:16. Here's what it said. Y'all know this story, right? They fed the 5,000. Jesus did. Remember that story? And then he fed the 4,000. They were kind of close together. And then they all get in a boat with the disciples and they go to the other side, right? So this is kind of what's happening. At this, they began to argue with each other because they hadn't brought any bread. Jesus knew what they were saying. So he said, why are you arguing about having no bread? Don't you know or understand even yet? He's kind of getting on them. Are your hearts too hard to take it in? You have eyes. Can't you see? You have ears. Can't you hear? Don't you remember anything at all? I mean, that's pretty crazy coming from Jesus, right? And then he goes into it. This is awesome, y'all. I'm gonna explain it in a minute. When I fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread, how many baskets of leftovers did you pick up afterward? 12, they said. And when I fed the 4,000 with 7 loaves, how many large baskets of leftovers did you pick up? 7, they said. Here's what he said. Don't you understand yet? Like, don't you get it? Like, don't you understand what's happening? The connection in scripture is that when you serve other people, so Jesus fed 5,000 people, right? And soon after that, he fed 4,000 people. You know who the servers were? The disciples. And the disciples are just out there and they're passing it out. They haven't eaten yet. It's been a long day. They're tired. They're giving it to 5,000 people. They're giving food to 4,000 people. And they're tired and they don't have a chance to eat. I imagine Peter might be slipping a piece sometimes. I don't know. Like, there's plenty, I mean. And they all get done and they had nothing. And they start arguing about it. Jesus shows up on the scene. He's like, man, what in the world? You still don't get it? When you serve other people, I'm gonna take care of you. That's what they didn't get, is that the servants get all the leftovers they could ever need, and they'll never, ever need anything else when Jesus is the one that provides. When they fed the 5,000, Jesus said, how many baskets were left over? And they said 12. Man, they had one basket per disciple. I got you. Jesus said, man, I got you. You can eat the whole basket and you're going to be bloated and you're going to be hurting and you might throw up. But I got you more than you'll ever need. When you fed 4,000, how many baskets were left over? Scripture is not a coincidence. 7, the number of abundance and completion. I complete you. I'm asking that you seek me and serve me and you'll have all these things. I'm asking you to serve others and know every time you do, I got you. I will take care of every need you ever have. It doesn't matter if it's a small detail, clothes on your back. And it doesn't matter if it's a ram in the thicket. God brought me here. God is saying, man, I got you. And I want you to know that I am the sole provider of every single thing in your life. Some of y'all probably remember this. You remember the song? When I was a kid, I used to sing it. He used to say, he's got the whole world in his hands, right? I can't think of a single day in my life when that wasn't true, even if I didn't believe it. He's got me. He's got you. Whatever you're going through, start remembering all the little details of how he blesses you, of how he provides for you. And I guarantee you, you'll go the rest of the day thanking him for how big he is, for how good he is in the big things and in the little things. Because Jesus is the provider that you will never have a greater one. He is the best thing, the best person to provide for any of your needs in any of your life right now in this moment. I'm going to pray in just a second. And as I pray, what I want you to do is just to start today by thanking him for anything you see that he provided in your life, small, big, in between. And I want to encourage you the rest of this week to be grateful that he is the provider that we need and that he doesn't miss a single detail. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you that you are the source of everything provided for us in every one of our lives. Thank you, God, that when we seek you, you promise you will meet every single need we have. And when we serve you, Lord, that we get the leftovers, that you take care of us, and that it's all planned. Since before we were born, you were our provider. And I thank you so much for that, Lord. Thank you for all the details of how you provide for everybody in the sound of my voice. Thank you for being who you are, for loving us, for how much you love us. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name.
Thanks again for listening today. If you need prayer or want to talk to someone about taking your next step, email us at nextsteps@journeycommunity.net.